Welcome to the Nerd Party.
Scully?
Yes?
Marry me.
I love you and I like you.
I love you and I like you.
I love that woman. I love her more than sharks love blood.
I love you.
You don't.
Hello, I'm Tristan Riddell.
And I'm the girl.
And this is Nerd Nuptial episode 125. How are you doing today?
I'm good. We got to go see a movie today.
We got to go see a movie. And if this is your first time listening, we are a married couple who looks at life through a nerdy lens. What movie did we get to go see?
Captain Marvel.
Captain Marvel, the Captain Marvel.
That's right.
This is the post-Avengers movie.
Yes.
And pre-Avengers movie.
That's right. It's the bridge.
Yes, yes. Like this is the sidestep, kind of like the I don't want to demean it by saying the distraction, but like this is the side story,
right?
Of the main saga that is the Infinity Stones and everything like that.
Yes, yes. It's supposed to give us hope that possibly things will go better in Endgame, right?
Although the name Endgame doesn't really
breed
confidence.
Yeah, seriously. So yeah, we're going to talk about that today and kind of talk about our first impressions and then spoiler free. And then we'll talk about some spoilers.
That's right. Yeah, that's how we usually do it is that like you and I have not talked.
That's right.
About the movie yet.
We haven't.
We just got home. We finished a nice dinner.
That's right.
Put the baby to sleep.
That's right.
And now we're ready to talk about it. So I have no idea how you felt about it. You have no idea how I felt about it.
I have no idea.
But before we get into that, before we get into the review, we have a 5-star review of our show.
Yeah.
Now, this is from the UK store, from an individual by the name of Ion Springfield. And he or she titled it, "Name a More Iconic Pairing, I'll Wait." End of review. That was it.
That's so awesome. Thank you so much.
Thank you so much for doing that.
It's a huge compliment.
For taking the time. Yeah, I love that it's the... people often talk about our chemistry, and every time I hear that, I'm just like, gee, I hope so.
Yeah, right? I hope we have chemistry.
But yes, thank you so much for doing that. And if you guys are listening and haven't done that yet, please go to Apple Podcasts, give us a review. You can leave any kind of review you want, but if you leave a 5-star review, we'll mention you on the show. So how about we talk about some Captain Marvel.
Yeah. Well, it was a very appropriate day to go see Captain Marvel because it's International Women's Day.
That's right. We were recording this on International Women's Day, yes. Opening weekend of Captain Marvel. I wonder if that was on purpose.
I'm pretty sure it was.
So I want to know, what did you think about this movie? Before we went to go see it, what were you expecting or anything like that?
Well... Okay, so I think we've even talked a little bit about it on this show, possibly.
A little bit.
I didn't have very high expectations at all. In fact, we kind of, until the last minute, debated going to go see Captain Marvel. We were like, if it works with our schedule, awesome. We'll have something to go see.
Mm-hmm. People kept asking me today, like, oh, are you going to go see Captain Marvel? And I said, I was like, well, we have the tickets.
Right.
But our babysitter might bail. Like they might have to back out at the last second. And if we can't go see it opening weekend, then we'll probably just skip it until it comes out on video.
Right. Yeah. So I did not have very high expectations. I also had a really hard time. Maybe I haven't seen enough Brie Larson films, but I had a really hard time visualizing her as a superhero.
Mm-hmm.
So I was kind of like, eh. And the way that they're advertising it kind of felt like... It felt a little, I don't know, like, are we going to like this? Are we not? And so I did not have very high expectations going in at all.
Yeah, it's pretty much the same for me because the trailers really didn't do anything for me.
Yeah, I think that's the thing. It didn't make me frustrated. It didn't excite me. Like, I think that's the main thing. It didn't, like, make me jazzed to go see it. Whereas, like, seeing Endgame trailer, we're like... We're going. Like, well, yeah. Don't show us anymore and we're going.
I think I kept thinking about Doctor Strange when I saw the trailers for Captain Marvel. I was just like, this feels like it's going to be a baseline Marvel experience where it's going to be just, okay. You know, like the Marvel has a formula. It's a formula that works. And you're guaranteed a certain, for the most part, a certain level of entertainment. So you know what you're going to get with your dollar. That's, I mean, you know, formulaic used to be a dirty word. Now it's a guaranteed income for movie studios.
That's true. Yeah.
But it's still kind of a dirty word for me because I'm just like, yes, I'm guaranteed a certain experience, but at the same time, is it worth my dollar? If I'm
right.
If I'm guaranteed a certain experience, then I can wait for video. But the main thing, like one big thing was, well, Avengers Infinity War was fan-frickin-tastic.
Mm-hmm.
This is going to tie into Endgame. Do I need to see this to understand Endgame? But right. then as time went on, people are just like, no, like there's no way that they're going to mandate that you see this in order for Endgame to make sense.
Okay.
And so yeah. I was honestly thinking of skipping it and just like talking to some fellow friends at the nerd party saying like, what do I need to know for Endgame?
Okay. Yeah. And that's kind of where we were at before going into the theater. Anything else before we get into spoiler free?
No. What did you think about the marketing, about them leaning heavily into the she is a hero. This is a female protagonist. This is a female superhero because this is in the MCU's first female-led superhero film. What did you think about how they leaned pretty hard in the marketing with that and MCU's first female-led superhero film in general? How do you feel about that?
I think I'm having a hard time talking about it without getting into like, okay.
You want to talk about that later?
Yeah, let's talk about that a little later.
Okay.
Just because I would rather like talk about it with some spoilers.
Okay.
Does that make sense?
No, that's fine.
Yeah.
That's fine.
So I know spoiler-free version.
Mm-hmm.
Let me kind of get into about like how they did advertise it. I don't think that they really gave it the proper tone in their advertising. As far as, like, I thought they took a very serious tone in their advertising, personally.
Okay.
Versus what I saw in the movie. Because I felt like it was a little stodgy, like a little, like, uptight in their advertising versus what I actually saw when I actually saw the film. So I felt like it was a little, like, I was all about, like, yeah, female-driven, like, mm-hmm. we've got a, you know, a female superhero. That's a big deal. But
we've only got that with Wonder Woman before.
Exactly.
In a different franchise.
Exactly. So I was all about that. Longtime listeners will know we're huge, like, Wonder Woman fans. So, like, a Marvel version, I'm like, okay, let's see what that's all about. But I felt like it was a little bit misleading in the way that they advertised it. And I would say, to kind of get into our spoiler-free, I felt like it was way better film than how they advertised it.
So let's go ahead and get into that.
Okay. Yeah.
Oh, excuse me. So let's just go ahead and get into that. So you saw the movie.
Yes.
You're walking out of the theater.
Yes.
You're driving home because we had to drive separately by yourself.
Yes.
What were you feeling as soon as the credits started to roll?
I can't wait to show Ripley.
Really?
Yes.
Wow.
Yes.
Elaborate on that.
I think this type of superhero is so, like, we, as women, we don't get that at all.
Mm-hmm.
So I feel like finally getting, I'm going to get emotional.
Oh my goodness. Wow. Okay. It's all right. It's all right. Take your time. So, you know, like it's hard, like representation really matters and it's. You don't always get that on screen. And I feel like people who are like, look at me. I am a straight white male and I'm in my 30s and I'm American.
Right.
There is so much out there for me. And there's so many superheroes that look like me. Freaking Batman looks like me. I am nothing like Batman.
Right. But I think that's the thing is like, as a little girl growing up, you're not told that you could be a superhero.
Mm-hmm.
Sorry, this is so lame.
No, it's not lame at all.
And I think, like, seeing a superhero that looks like you, mm-hmm. You know, being a woman and really, like, leaning into how hard it is to be a woman really spoke to me. Hard.
Yeah.
Clearly.
Yeah. Because, like, there was a...
Sorry, guys. Wow. I didn't... I guess, like, I felt it in the moment when I was watching it, but I guess it's, like, really coming out now because there was a few moments where, like, I felt emotional, like, I felt, like, mm-hmm. I felt something when I was watching, but clearly, I think it also kind of leans into having a little girl and, like, trying to be the best for her and show her what a woman is and, like, being the best example. And so... like having other examples for her to like look up to and, you know, not being like a situation where like, oh, you're the weird girl because you're dressing up like Spider-Man but you're a girl. Like, mm-hmm. I don't feel like Ripley's going to have as much of that because we're starting to now like embrace superheroes more. So like
our little girl.
Yeah, exactly. And especially like in this time and place. I think that we're leaning a little bit in the right direction where it's like, no, as a little girl, you can say, yeah. No, I know that we have that with Wonder Woman, but like the more diversity you have in that really helps kids feel like they can relate, right?
Even with Black Panther, like even though yeah. the protagonist is a man, there is so many...
Yeah.
Well-written and interesting female characters and female characters of color and of different ages.
Exactly.
If you look at Shuri.
Yeah. Like, one of our trick-or-treaters was Shuri this year. Mm-hmm. And I was just like, it looks so different than when I was a little girl. Like, basically, I was like, I'm a princess or I'm, like, in some type of tutu.
I was going to say princess or ballerina.
Yeah.
Or...
And I, like, felt like a rebel for dressing up, like, Princess Leia.
Which is still a princess.
Exactly. So to see like this generation of little girls being able to really, and also just to teach them that little girls can like teach them that you can be strong as a woman and not only strong like mentally, but you could also be strong physically. Mm-hmm. Like it takes a lot of work and that's just kind of the nature of being a woman. But like, you can work towards it and you can be strong in whatever way, mentally. And I also like there were certain moments in the film where it was okay to be emotional. Mm-hmm. It was okay to, you know, be those like those words that have always been associated negatively with women.
Or weakness.
I felt like they kind of made it okay.
Yeah, it was like a recurring theme in the film. This is no spoilers, but like a recurring theme in the film was... Captain Marvel controlling her emotions, which
yes.
How many times as a woman have you heard that?
Yeah.
Somebody told you that you need to calm down or that you need
to control your emotions.
And
yeah.
Like that.
Right now I feel embarrassed that I got emotional talking about Captain Marvel.
I got, listen, a couple of episodes ago, I got emotional from talking about a movie called Please Stand By, which was a substandard, like could have been a straight to DVD film. And it doesn't matter because it connected
it spoke
with
to
me.
You, yeah.
And just like Captain Marvel spoke to you. Now, before we move on, because I really want to talk, I want to continue talking about this. You didn't have this kind of reaction after seeing Wonder Woman.
No, I think a lot of it had to do with the fact that like they really focused on the idea of, Wonder Woman is a little bit different category, right? Like she was surrounded by women all of her life mm-hmm. who built her up. Okay, Captain Marvel, her past, when she starts to remember it, she was always beaten down, which is much more of a, I mean, I've lived a very great life as a woman, but it doesn't mean that I haven't been told like, no, you can't do that because you're a girl. Mm-hmm. Or every woman has been told that at some type of time or another or felt inferior because a man was making her feel stupid or mm-hmm. not as strong or something mm-hmm. like that. So having that backstory that was much more typical of the female
experience.
And just the idea, like, that she could, every time, like, there was that, this, like, scene where a little girl, like, she was a little girl, and every time she'd fall down, and she'd get back up. Oh, my gosh. Sorry.
And also, I mean, and here's the thing, though, is that, like, when you were a little girl, you were a little blonde girl, and we have a little blonde girl, and Captain Marvel was a little blonde girl, and so there's that much of an extreme connection.
Yeah.
Like, not just is it like, oh, I'm a woman, but no, like, I'm also a little white blonde girl. And so that just even shows us more that we need representation of little blonde girls, of little black girls, of little Asian girls, of little Hispanic girls. We need every type of representation of race, color, creed, eye color, hair color, everything like that. We need to just inundate our culture with it, because we've been so lacking for, what, a century of film?
Right.
And right. And like, you have had the privilege of having that kind of connection, and like any kind of woman, or any kind of man, really, can, like, a boy or girl can look up to Captain Marvel, but you have that intense connection because of that.
Right. And I really think it comes from having a little girl.
Yeah.
Like, I think that's why I'm getting emotional about it. I'm sorry, guys. I think it's because you know that it's going to be hard for her.
Yeah.
And so having an example of, you know, getting back up.
Getting back up.
That's the huge thing for me.
Yeah. I will be honest with you that I started kicking myself a little bit, because I started revealing my own bias in my own mind as I was watching it. Because there was a few times when I started internally rolling my eyes a little bit. Like, when we had, like, there was one scene where she's kind of going through her memories. Again, this is not spoilers, but, like, she's going through her memories, and we're seeing her fall down repeatedly, like, at different ages and everything like that. And specifically being verbally and emotionally abused by men. And I think we got to, like, one point where, like, there was one pilot who said, like, you're never going to make it up there. Like, there's a reason why they call it a cockpit. And I rolled my eyes, and I was just like, oh, you guys are leaning into this really hard. Like, this is, like, geez. Like, did you have to have such quickfire succession of all of this happening at once? And then I started, like, as I said this to myself, and I started, like, I had that knee-jerk reaction of rolling my eyes. I'm like, how many stories of this have you heard from your mother, your sister, your friends, your coworkers? I have heard countless stories of way worse than what Captain Marvel showed.
Yeah.
And in way more frequency than what Captain Marvel showed. And I feel like it's my own programming, pop culture programming, that makes me say, like, okay, it's okay to do that, like, once, but don't overdo it. Like, don't beat a dead horse. Like, don't drive it home. But honestly, they're just portraying the real world experience, especially in the 90s for a woman who wanted to be a fighter pilot.
Right, exactly. And I think also those type of moments when you are put down like that stick out in your head.
Yeah,
so
exactly.
It's one of those things where, like, when you are, you know, demeaned or a sexist comment is made to you, it really does bury deep.
It sticks with you.
It really does. So I feel like it didn't bother me at all in that way.
Oh, yeah.
No. Yeah, but
For me, just to clarify, it was a knee jerk that I immediately was just like,
well, I think you kind of like, okay, so spoiler free still, I don't think it was the best movie ever, but damn, did I connect with it.
I think that's very well put. Is that, like, yeah, you obviously connected with it, had a very, very emotional attachment
clearly.
To it.
Clearly. I had a hard time talking. Yes. Sorry, guys.
But that doesn't mean that you think it's The Godfather or Citizen Kane.
No. And I think that this is a step in the right direction. I think there were some flaws with story and, like, some things here and there that I was like,
which we'll get into.
Yeah, absolutely. But we're in the right direction, and to see that, and I'm just really hoping that we continue, that we have more, like you were just talking about, have more representation, so that it is a situation where every little girl, no matter how they look, could have a superhero. And, you know, at Halloween, we have like a ton of different superheroes. Mm-hmm. And, you know, little girls seeing that they can be powerful and strong, and not only mentally, but physically. And I think that's really important.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You didn't really share what you thought about overall.
I wanted to hear you talk.
Okay.
I wanted to hear your experience.
Or try to talk.
No, I wasn't going to interrupt you. I wanted to hear what you had to say. When I was watching it, I had a crap day today. Mm-hmm. Like, it was super stressful. And I had so many deadlines on what I was working on. And I'm traveling next week, and so I'm going to lose 2 days of productivity at work. And I'm constantly, like, my job is very much deadline driven. Mm-hmm. Like, every day, sometimes multiple times a day throughout the day, I'm hitting multiple deadlines. And so I was just super stressed out. And then I was just like, am I going to make this movie? Because, like, we were in question of whether or not we were actually going to go to the movie. But then once we decided that we were going to go, I was like, I might be late. I can't stand being late to a movie. I don't want to be late to a movie. And so even though I was incredibly stressed at the workplace, I leave and I'm stressed because I'm trying to get there. And then we sit down. I'm able to relax. And I'm just like, okay.
Right.
Just relax. I just need something. I just need something.
Right.
I don't care if it's Citizen Kane. I don't care if it's Samurai Cop. I need something in between.
Okay.
And so my expectations were super low because I was like you, where like the trailers did nothing for me. They didn't move the needle. I didn't think it was going to be garbage, but I didn't think it was going to be great either. I was just like, yeah, whatever, baseline. But as I'm watching it, I started connecting with it way more than I expected. I felt like the pacing was great. I felt the story was very straightforward. It felt like it didn't need to be a Marvel film. Mm-hmm. Like, I felt like you could have gone into this without seeing any kind of Marvel film ever.
Yeah, that's really true.
And see it and go like, wow, that was a really cool sci-fi film.
Yeah. No, it's true. Yeah.
And I really appreciated that. I mean, was there Marvel connections? Of course there were. As you know, like, were they absolutely important to know the story? Not really.
Right.
And I started... Like, I caught one little hint of a review, and it was somebody just completely bashing the humor. And I was just like, oh, well, you know, like sometimes Marvel can get a little too jokey and a little too over the top and just kind of chew the scenery. And so I was expecting that from this. And that's not the case at all.
That's not the case.
Like, I had genuine reactions to the humor. Like, was I slapping my knee? No, but I wasn't supposed to.
Right. Absolutely.
And so I was just started being enraptured by all the characters and, just like I was laughing at the right moments. I was intrigued by the action at the right moments. You know, whenever there was plot twists, I was just like, oh, wait, hey, whoa, cool. You know, like this is interesting. And so as I left, I was like, wow, that was really entertaining. That mm-hmm. was a really entertaining time. I'm glad we went and saw that.
Yeah.
And it was the same as you. I was just like, did I think that was the best movie ever? No. But it was very, very entertaining.
Right. Yeah. What did you think of Brie Larson as Captain Marvel?
I thought she was fine. I you know, you hear all the criticisms of Brie Larson that she has one expression, that she's just kind of monotone, and you know, she never smiles, and like very certain things are true. Some things are rooted in truth. Other things rooted in sexism. She's also very, very outspoken with her feminism and with her social justice and civil rights issues. And so that rubs a lot of people the wrong way sometimes because she's so outspoken.
Oh, really?
And so sometimes people, you know, when you don't like somebody's personality in real life, it can affect their view in, you know, via characters. Obviously, I'm not that way with her because more power to her for being an outspoken feminist. But I really only watched, I think I've only seen one other Brie Larson film, and it was Kong.
Oh, really?
And she didn't really have much to do in Kong.
Yeah, I was going to say, I don't think I've had enough Brie Larson movies to really have that kind of preconceived judgment of her. So going into this, I really liked her as Captain Marvel. Like, I thought that she was cute, but also strong. like her sense of humor was dry, but like I like that sense of humor. Mm-hmm. So the her delivery didn't bother me in the least. It was interesting because like watching the previews for Captain Marvel, I thought that she was going to be very like stoic and like too serious. Mm-hmm. But I was like, but it's Brie Larson. I've heard that she's more, you know, a little bit more, I don't know, like having more humor to her. And then I thought it was like the perfect level of, it's not like she was like cracking jokes constantly, but she was witty.
Mm-hmm.
And I thought it was totally, I liked the amount of humor. I thought she was great.
Well, when, okay, again, like you see in the trailer that she gets captured. And so during that scene when she escapes, because we all know she's going to escape.
Right.
Like I'm not spoiling anything for you guys. When she, the way that she was fighting, and the way that she entered a room and held herself, and just her facial expressions, like when one guy was screaming at her and she screamed back and like stuck her tongue out and everything like that, I was just like, okay, I'm with you.
Yeah, yeah.
I'm with you. Absolutely. Like this, that's hilarious without being absurd.
Right, right. And it still has that Marvel feeling where it's not so serious that you're like, whoa, we need to take it down a notch.
Yeah.
You know, when you watch a Marvel film, you know that you're going to laugh at some point.
At some point.
Exactly. So she won me over. Like, I really liked her.
And you don't want to go too serious because at the same time, you're just like, we're dealing with green lizard people and a woman who shoots firebolts out of her hands.
Right.
Like,
right,
let's
right.
put things in perspective
exactly.
here.
Exactly.
So, yeah, I think, like, I liked her more than I expected
mm-hmm.
just from the reputation that I've heard because I have had so little experience with her acting. And so, like, yeah, she won me over. I don't think she was the she definitely didn't give an over-the-top performance.
No, but that wasn't called for.
That wasn't called for. Yeah, that's what I'm saying. It's just like some. What I'm trying to say is that if you don't like Brie Larson and think that she's like monotone and doesn't change your face, you're probably not going to change your opinion because you don't like her. Like, but if you do like her, this is just going to reinforce that.
Mm-hmm.
That's what I'm trying to say.
Well, I think that goes for like any actor if you don't like them, right?
It's true. Like you're gonna take your bias with you.
Yeah.
When you go see this film.
Yeah. Absolutely.
Yeah.
Yeah.
This is not gonna change any hearts and minds.
Yeah. But I liked her.
Yes.
And you did too.
I did too. Yeah. I think the main reason why I bring that up is because there's been so, I don't want to talk about it for a long time, but because
you have the online perspective, I don't have any.
Yeah,
of that.
that's why I was rambling a second ago, just because all of these bros, all these frat boy, fanboy bros, just can't stand Brie Larson because she's an outspoken feminist.
Well, this film isn't for them.
Exactly. Exactly.
So you don't have to watch it.
But they like Rotten Tomatoes actually turned off its audience rating system until today for this movie because they were being inundated with negative reviews from people who hadn't seen the movie yet.
What is wrong with people?
And it's because they can't stand seeing a woman on screen in a position of power, and they can't stand Brie Larson because she's an outspoken feminist, and they couldn't stand that they were leaning hard into the feminist idealism in their marketing. And, you know, like there's multiple people out there. It's just like, oh, I don't want to see politics when I go to the movies. I just want a good movie that's driven by plot.
I'm sorry. Feminism isn't politics. It's human decency. So this is not.
I know.
Like, it's the same people that probably are like, oh, I wish that Captain Marvel was a man. Like, you know what I'm saying?
No,
like,
that,
essentially,
yes. Yeah.
You know,
yeah,
that's what you're saying to me is that you don't value women,
yeah.
Essentially.
It's the same people who think Rey is a Mary Sue from Star Wars.
Right.
And all those people. Yeah.
Yeah.
It's
that's sad.
But I don't want to talk about it.
No.
Because it's nonsense.
That's pretty sad. I didn't know any of that. So I didn't watch it with that,
but
that
like,
lens.
But like this movie, like people are going in droves and people like this movie is making money. It's breaking records mm-hmm. on pre-sales and ticket sales and Thursday sales and weekend sales.
Yeah.
So
which is great.
These fanboy neckbeards are not doing anything to damage it except a little rating on a website.
Yeah, and if they talk more about it, then probably people would be like, oh, I should go see that.
Just to screw you over.
Exactly.
Pimply-faced Dorito breath.
There was a lot of, like, dads with their girls.
There was.
And I loved seeing that. I loved it.
We saw dads with little girls, and we also saw some mothers with sons.
Yeah, yeah. It was really cool. And, I mean, our audience was very small. We went, had a really weird time on a Friday night, which not even night. We went to like a 4:40 show.
Yeah, it was before 5 o'clock.
So it was really early. So it was a small crowd, but they all clapped, which was really cool.
I was kind of surprised by that. Like, I don't think I've ever clapped at the end of a movie just because I'm like, they're not here. Like, they can't hear me. Like, Brie Larson's not here. But... yeah, it was a good crowd, and at the end of the movie,
yeah,
it said Captain Marvel will return for Avengers Endgame, and like there's this one guy behind us who went, "Damn right she is!" Like at full volume.
Yeah, we were laughing so hard. So I think I clapped for that guy.
Yeah, that guy's awesome. Okay,
should we get into spoilers?
How about this? Do you think people should see it in the theater, or is it okay to wait?
I think you should see it in the theater because I think that to go into Endgame not knowing who Captain Marvel is, when she better be a very essential character, and she's going to be.
She's going to be.
I think you should. Also, just to support like a female-driven superhero film that we don't often get. So, yes, you should go see it.
I think I'm leaning more towards that rationale than the Endgame rationale.
Yeah, but, like, think about seeing Endgame and not having that connection to the character. I think that you do need a connection to that character.
I think I'm going to disagree with you on that one because I feel like Endgame will be structured enough.
Well, I'm sure they'll, like, make sure everyone's caught up in some way, shape, or form, but... mm-hmm. I think to really enjoy that character or like have some feeling towards the character, I think it would help.
Well, I think, yeah, it'll definitely help. It'll definitely enrich the experience. Mm-hmm. I think I'm from the camp, though, that if you are solely, if you don't want to go see Captain Marvel, like I think you should because it's a good film. But if you want to save your money and you just want to like your movie budget is tight and you can only go see Endgame, go see Endgame. And they'll catch you up with Captain Marvel because I for that reason, because I don't want to go into spoiler reasons, but that's just me.
Should go see it.
There you go. Okay.
Yeah.
Let's go ahead and get into spoiler territory. So you have been warned, folks.
That's right.
We had a big long section that was spoiler free, and hopefully it helped with your decision to go if you haven't yet. And so, warning, 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 spoiler, spoiler, spoiler. I'm super glad that I completely forgot about the Kree before I saw this movie.
Why do you say that?
Well, okay, here's the thing, is that like Ronan, the Accuser, mm-hmm. is Kree.
Right.
And he's a bad guy.
Mm-hmm.
And the Kree were in a war with I think they were called the Novans, like the people from Nova Prime, like all the Guardians of the Galaxy stuff.
Right, right, right.
And so like some people would say that the Kree are bad because they're slavers and warmongers, but some say that's just like some Kree, and then there's other Kree who didn't like the war that happened with the Nova Prime, but like the treaty, some that didn't like the treaty, blah 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 blah, blah, fake intergalactic politics.
Right.
I forgot the that race was Kree.
Yeah, I did too.
So when I went into Captain Marvel and Jude Law and, you know, Annette Bening and that the green group of superheroes, basically.
Right.
That strike force, that Kree strike force, I was just like, oh, it's an alien race Kree that we've never heard of before. So I had no idea, like, are they bad? Are they good?
Right, right.
You just assume that they're good because they are presented that way in the cinematic adventure.
In the beginning.
In the beginning.
Right. Right. No, I had the same feeling, too. I totally forgot about the name Kree. I mean, maybe that makes us bad fans, but yeah. I totally forgot. And like you said, there's could be two sides of it. But yeah, it was interesting. I think I had some, like, did you have any inklings that, like, again, we're in spoiler territory here, that like the Kree were bad? Did you have any?
No, I hate admitting that because whenever I do, I feel stupid because there's some people out there who will hear me say, no, I didn't see it coming, which I really didn't. And there's going to be some D-bag out there who's going to message me and says like, oh my God, you didn't see that coming? Were you not paying attention? And to that hypothetical D-bag, I say, screw you.
The only thing that I felt was off, like I didn't necessarily feel like they were going to be the bad guys, but I did feel like there was going to be some type of like rejection of Jude Law because of the way he was speaking to her. Like they were chummy, but they were like the way he was talking about her emotions. Mm-hmm. I was like, this can't go well. Like,
that's interesting because yeah. How I saw it was pure mentorship.
Really?
Yeah, I didn't see any red flags whatsoever.
No, that's how I saw it. I was like, and also him saying like, I can take it away. Like I can take that power away. Mm-hmm. I was like,
I maybe just because he's just so handsome.
Anything he says.
Anything he says, and just like, Jude, like... please.
He blinded you.
He blinded me with his accent.
No, I think like just the fact that he was like, yeah, that can be taken away. I was like. That doesn't bode well for that relationship. Like there has to be some type of turning point there.
I'm super glad they didn't make it any kind of weird romantic entanglement.
That is a huge plus for this whole film.
That would have been so easy to do.
Right? So she doesn't have any, like, there's no romantic entanglements.
None.
Which is fantastic. In fact, they focus on friendship. Female friendship, which is so important, and I feel like so often in film is ignored, because unfortunately, like usually you see women like kind of beat each other down petty or like petty, or they're yeah. end up like, you know, comparing or something like that. Whereas you saw like a really true friendship where it was, and it was is really beautiful.
Yeah.
Yeah. So. I felt really good about that decision that they did not, like, I don't know.
I was so thankful.
Oh, my gosh. Because they could have gone that way with Jude Law's character. They could have even, it would have been weird, but they could have gone that way with Samuel L. Jackson's character, Fury, which just the idea of that, like, in her coming back would have been really very odd choice. But I'm just saying they could have done all those things, and they didn't.
It's so funny because the de-aging of Samuel L. Jackson was done really well.
Oh my gosh, so well.
Super flawlessly. But at the same time, if you just put today, like Samuel Jackson today there and said like he was de-aged, I'd be like, oh, sure. Yeah, okay. Like that's Sam really Jackson good. From the 90s. You right? know, like just because
so good.
The man himself is pretty ageless. So you never can know. But like I could really tell with Coulson, like that you could definitely.
Really?
Wait, what do you mean?
Wait, you Coulson? Really? You felt that way more with Coulson than with Samuel L. Jackson's character?
No.
The de-aging?
What I'm saying is that, like, what I was about to say was you could really tell they spent more time on Sam Jackson's okay. de-aging than Coulson's.
Sorry.
Because Coulson really wasn't in it that much.
No.
At all. And so there was a few times when I was just like, he felt a little shiny, a little too smooth. he's not a baby. Like, he's like... He's not like fresh from the hospital.
Like we're 30 and yeah, starting to show some age. So
like it's okay.
It's all right.
Yeah. So there was a couple of those moments. That's what I meant. But also just Samuel L. Jackson in general. He just mm-hmm. doesn't crack. So yeah. I thought that was great. I thought Samuel L. Jackson was Samuel L. Jackson.
Yeah. But I mean, seeing him in more of a, I don't know, like, him partnering up and being more the focus than just this guy that like pops in now and then.
Yes.
I really enjoyed that.
Yeah. Would you say this is the most screen time he's gotten in one movie?
I mean, besides maybe the first not Avengers? Combined, but like, I would think so for sure. Right?
Right?
I mean, it has to be. He was on screen all the time.
He really was. I want to go back and compare the first Avengers because I feel like he had the most up till now. I feel like he's had the most screen time in that one, mm-hmm. except maybe Winter Soldier. Then again, I don't know.
Well, I enjoyed the performance.
Yeah, I liked the pairing. I liked how they worked off of each other quite well. And they kind of played with it a little bit at the beginning where you're just like, wait, does he know about this? Like, is he a member of S.H.I.E.L.D. or is he like FBI or is he...
Yeah.
Like, what is he? Because like when he held up his badge to Marvel, Captain Marvel, we didn't see what it was.
Right. Right.
And so we're like, how clueless is he right now? Like, is this what brings him into the fold? But he was already a member of S.H.I.E.L.D., but he was unaware of the cosmic forces that were going on. So that's really cool.
That was
to see.
Really interesting. I mean, he handled it pretty well, considering.
Well, this is also like an organization that dealt with Captain America and...
That's true.
You know, like the Nazis like trying to take over the world with, you know...
So he's seen some crazy stuff.
Yeah.
Interesting. Yeah, I enjoyed him in this, and I thought it was interesting. I think the anti-aging was really good. What did you think about the whole, like, memory, like, going back in memory and also, like, having this one time, like what did you – because I thought, looking at the previews, I thought we were, like, going to be in the 90s for part of it and then – going to like what was like modern day or something, or not even modern day, but like going into space or something.
I was glad that they did it the way that they did, because I was glad that they kind of threw us in the middle of it, which I always appreciate.
Me too.
And the going back in time thing, it wasn't a flashback.
No.
It was literally an alien going through her memories. Mm-hmm. That gives it that extra edge. And the way that they edit it together, as in that it was blending and they were going through it and you could hear their voices talking over the memories, that was very engaging to me.
It was.
And very interesting, as opposed to just Captain Marvel kind of looking out a window and then all of a sudden we're back to when she was a kid.
Absolutely. Like, that would have been boring, and we've seen that done so many times that it's just like, you know,
and that's,
let's stop doing that.
Yeah.
Whereas this, it gave it a framing device to kind of play with that in her mind, and even like doing the whole Annette Bening, like walking one direction, walking another direction, and like fast forwarding and like freezing and stuff like that. That was just really interesting. And even like seeing her like kind of interacting with it, that was really cool. I really enjoyed that. I was like, okay, we're doing something different. That's really neat.
Like, we're accomplishing the same thing.
Yep.
But we're doing it in a very different way. That's very interesting.
Absolutely.
And I really did enjoy that. I'm going to skip ahead a little bit just because I'm thinking about it right now. Like, you were talking about, like, during those memories of her falling down and then getting back up.
Yeah.
And seeing that. The moment that connected to me, and I think this is because I'm a parent now, is when Ben Mendelsohn, the lead Skrull, sees his family for the first time in 6 years. I connected with that. I was just like,
did you?
Ooh, like I wasn't like getting too emotional, but I was just like, oh, that's hitting home a little bit. Like, the way that he played that and acted that was very believable, very real, even though he had so much prosthetics on his face.
Yeah.
You felt that pain of not seeing your family, of not seeing your little girl grow up, and your wife not knowing what to do.
Right.
And leaving her all on her own to raise this kid, but not by choice.
Right.
Like I immediately put myself in that situation, and I'm like, what on earth would I think and feel in that moment of seeing Ripley for the first time in 6 years?
Yeah, that would be insane and really rough. And I think that was such an interesting how that immediately made you change your mind about the character. Like, and it's so interesting how that emotional connection just immediately flipped it on its head. And we were like, I mean, oh, okay. Like, I mean, he had said that before.
Yeah, we were.
But then you
were
like, yes, now we need to help them. Not only do we need to get him where he needs to go, but we need to help the family and all of, like, the refugees.
Exactly. Yeah.
So,
What did you think about his performance? What did you think about him as a character and as a bad guy at first?
Oh, I really liked that. I thought it was really interesting. I think, like, the idea of, like, a shapeshifter, I mean, we've seen it done so many times, but the personality that he had, where he was able to kind of, like, give and take with like the humor of it, I really enjoyed it.
There was something about his character, like I really enjoyed him too, and I think he's a great actor. He's not always in the best of movies, but he always gives a great performance in whatever movie he's in. And he is one of those guys that I wouldn't say he's a chameleon, which is funny to say
because he played prosthetics
because he played a shapeshifter. But he is someone who can take the littlest of moments and make you not overdo it and make you feel something. Like when they were doing the autopsy on the Skrull and he was saying goodbye, that felt very intimate and very, very interesting. And it's not something that you would normally see out of a bad guy.
Right. Right.
And it also wasn't over the top. Mm-hmm. And so that should have been like my first inkling that, oh, this guy, there's something more going on with this guy. There's something more than just being a generic bad guy.
Because right.
Marvel does not have the best track record with interesting bad guys. You have basically
Better.
They're getting better because you have Killmonger and Thanos. That's pretty much it out of 10 years of decent bad
but,
guys.
But I mean, this guy, he wasn't truly a bad guy.
Right.
But I thought that shift was really good. I mean, he had a lot of dimension. Mm-hmm. That's for sure. When we did think that he was the bad guy.
I was going to say, he was the antagonist for the most of the film.
Right.
So I think he can be labeled that way.
Oh, yeah. I understand.
So that you talked about like not knowing or being iffy about Jude Law and everything like that, but when the twist finally happened, mm-hmm. actually happened, we got the black box. How did you feel?
I thought that it was an interesting twist because I, like, even though I had like an inkling that Jude Law might have been not the best, I didn't really think that like her whole, like, where she came from was going to be bad. Mm-hmm. So, or like, you know, like the enemy against the other species of alien or whatever.
Skrulls.
The Skrulls, yeah. So I thought that was an interesting twist because I didn't see that coming for sure.
Right.
Did you see that coming?
No, I didn't. That's one of those things where I'm just like, nope, completely didn't see it coming.
Yeah.
I didn't expect it because I was watching a Marvel film. I was just like, nope. Pretty straightforward, going to be formulaic, and it wasn't.
Yeah.
But yeah, and that also, like, again, like, I'm not the biggest, I don't have expansive comic knowledge either when it comes to Marvel. Like, I'm way more of a DC guy when it comes to comics.
Mm-hmm.
And with Marvel, I kind of pretty much just stayed with Iron Man and Spider-Man and everything like that. And so, like, I didn't really get deep into cosmic Marvel films. So, you know, I don't have, I'm sure that there's fans out there who are just like, oh, well, when you heard Jude Law's character's name, which I don't even know, Yogg-Log or something like that, something weird. like, how would you not know that, like, Yogg-Log was defeated by Mar-Vell, you know, like, crap like that.
Mm-hmm.
But no, I honest to God, didn't see it coming, and I think that's great. And if you did see it coming, good for you.
Because you're usually, like, the first to kind of see things coming between the two of us. So I mean that's a good thing.
It keeps
you on your toes.
I love being surprised because it very rarely happens.
Right.
And I'm trying to think, like, what I as I was watching it, I was just like, what am I rating this? How am I experiencing this? I really need to stop doing that and just wait until it's over.
Yeah, you do.
But if what's something, we kept gushing about it and how we connected with it on an emotional level, how we enjoyed Brie Larson's performance. What was something that you didn't really like or that you could have done without or you would have changed or altered?
I really liked the beginning. Like, even the first and second act, I think, were really strong. I think the third act is usually where Marvel films tend to have a hard time with me. I think I didn't really clearly understand what her powers were.
Mm.
And like how they functioned. And I need to know like the nitty gritty. Okay, I don't. But I guess like I was like, wow, like she just became, I think you even you mentioned this, like Marvel's Superman. Mm-hmm. And I guess I was just like, whoa, we just went from here to there very quickly. I felt like the transformation was a little like rapid fire. Not that she hadn't been like transforming, you know, internally and stuff like that, and like kind of, you know, gained her confidence and realized that she was, you know, able to like summon it from within. But like now she's able to be in space.
Yeah.
And then I was like, okay. And I was, it was like I was playing catch up. Like I can accept it, but I felt a little like, did I miss something?
I was pretty
easy. In that third act, I had a hard time with that.
I had a pretty easy time accepting it.
Oh, did you? Okay.
But it wasn't, but my brain was kind of working like yours a little bit, but not so much because I couldn't accept it, but I was also just like, did she know that she can breathe in space? Or
yeah,
like
especially at the end, she didn't even have like her helmet on.
I was like, just kind of like, did you do a trial and error? You're like, what if you screwed up? You know, like what if you went a little too far?
That's what
and
I thought.
Just like, oh, I'm super powerful. I'm going to go into space. Oh my God, this was a mistake.
Right. And I mean, I knew that she had to be super powerful for her to be like the one they call,
mm-hmm.
you know. After, you know,
like Thanos kicked our
right,
ass,
right? Like, we need Captain Marvel. Like, okay, she must be awesome. But I mean, the fact that she was able to stop the missiles from Ronan, like, I mean, I was just like, whoa, where'd this come from?
Mm-hmm.
So, I think that was where I was like, okay, this isn't the best thing in the whole world. I'm totally on board with all the feminism and like go girl power, but whoa, like it wouldn't matter whether it was a girl superhero or not. I'd be like, how did she get to do that all of a sudden?
Yeah. Yeah.
And how did she know that it would work?
I think it's one of those things where I feel like sci-fi and fantasy often has a very hard time balancing powers where... This is my go-to example, and this kind of dates me a little bit, but Hercules, The Legendary Journeys, starring Kevin Sorbo. There was in that show, like, he's Hercules,
mm-hmm.
so he's strong.
Mm-hmm.
But in one episode, you see him literally lift half of a mountain.
Okay.
Or, like keep it from falling. And then two episodes later, he's struggling with a small boulder.
Okay.
And
yes. Okay.
When I saw the third act, when she got rid of the inhibitor device, whatever you
want
to call it,
right.
And then she started like, you know, busting skulls and splitting wigs. I was kind of like, okay, well, you're having a hard time with these people that you used to fight with, who, I mean, they're strong, they're stronger than humans, but they're not like Thanos or anything like that.
Right.
But then all of a sudden she's moving a gigantic missile.
Right.
You know, as she's flying. And I'm just like, like, are you now invincible? Like, she's going through starships and making them explode.
Right.
Are you now a god?
That's why I was, that's where I got really confused. And mm-hmm. I got in my head, right? So, like, the whole time I'm with her, and I understand the powers and, like, the limitations of the powers. And, like, sometimes mm-hmm. when she uses her hands against someone, what is it? It's, like, electricity or like
photon like
okay
that,
yeah. Photons, it doesn't always kill them,
mm-hmm.
but then we move from that to, like you said, destroying a starship just with her hands and just going through it.
Yeah.
So that was really that's where I was like, wait a minute, like my logic, like I wasn't able to just sit back and relax at that point because I was just like, hold up.
Yeah. Yeah, I get it. Like, it was, I accepted it because it was looked cool, but at the same time, I couldn't shut my brain off.
Yeah.
And think, because, like, we're built to think that way. We're built on this realm of sci-fi and fantasy. We are accustomed to explanations of things.
Right.
And there was a lot of leap of faith in this.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm not necessarily saying that as a knock. Because, like, when like when the Skrulls, like the science guy Skrull, which I thought was hilarious. Oh, yeah. He's like, really, you're my science guy, man.
That like, that's where I think I like was like, I love this character.
And when the science guy is just like, oh, I can totally modify your ship to go into space. I'm like, really, can you? Like with just the crap that's in her garage.
That's so funny. Like, yeah. No. Yeah. Well, I mean, I even had that like thought when she went to Radio Shack and like was gonna adapt the phone. I was like, wait, really? The Radio Shack will give her?
Oh no! Loved that.
No, I thought it was hilarious. But I also like at that point, I was in my head being like, that's gonna work.
Yeah.
Like,
I mean, if ET can do it, then Captain Marvel can do it.
Okay. All right. But I'm just saying that's where I like was like, okay, let go of that. Let go, and then. Like, let it, but at that point where her powers shifted so drastically, mm-hmm. that's where I got in my head, really got in my head.
I just kind of wish that she brought out a speaking spell, like E.T. did. Yeah, I get that, though.
I love
yeah.
the Blockbuster reference, too, because longtime listeners will know I worked at a Blockbuster for my first job.
It was so, like, I immediately thought of that.
Yeah.
When she landed, and also, like, she blew up a poster of... Or a stand-up of True Lies.
Yes.
And Arnold's head exploded. And behind her, I saw three more Arnold movies as she was walking around.
That's so funny.
And I'm just like, was that done on purpose? Or was it just because it's the 90s it's and the Arnold 90s? Was everywhere? Probably that.
But again, like, that's such a great way to, like, date where she is of, like, Blockbuster, True Lies, Arnold, stand-up. Yeah. Like... Okay, I know exactly what year it is. And just the hilarity of the fact that it was a Blockbuster next to a Radio Shack. And we have neither of those anymore.
I think I loved when I found out that this was going to be set in the 90s. I was like, oh, man, the music's going to be great.
Yeah, right? Oh, my gosh.
It's going to be so much fun.
So fun.
And it was. And regardless yeah. of the music... Like when they brought out No Doubt,
yes.
No Doubt's I'm Just a Girl, I'm just kind of like, okay.
See, I was like, they had to. See, my thought was like, this is the appropriate moment. If you're going to do it, like, do it now.
Regardless of the pop music that they used, I really enjoyed the score of this film.
Yeah, it was like, really
nice.
Like,
they used a lot of electronic beats that were less 90s, but more 80s, but I'm not complaining.
No.
Because I thought it sounded great.
Yeah, it was good. I liked it. But it wasn't, like, so in your face that... distracted me at all. It was mm-hmm. it was like a good tone.
I like how it was shot too. I thought it was very clean and classic with how it was shot. It was very textbook, and I say that as a compliment because mm-hmm. I feel like there's so many times like, oh geez, like just like last night's Star Trek Discovery, like the way that was shot, good lord, like calm down.
There was a moment in Discovery this week where I was like, am I gonna be sick?
Oh my god. Jeez.
Am I on a ride right now?
Just give us the information. Give us a few interesting angles. Right. I'm just gonna rage if I talk about that.
Moving on.
But like, no, this was very clean, very classic. It was almost as if it was shot like a 90s film.
Mm-hmm.
And there was, I think, a moment when she's in the meadow when it's just after she hears the black box. And I thought like the lighting was perfect. It was dusk. It's very hard to light that kind of, like, it was actually just after dusk. It's super hard to light that, but mm-hmm. it looked great. Kind of felt very Man of Steely.
Yeah, and, yeah, I felt that too.
Yeah, and I really appreciated that. I'm trying to think of other things that I didn't really dig on. I mean, there was a few times, like in the third act, where you get out, like your own head gets in your own way. There was...
What did you think about Fury's eye? Because that was my kind of eye roll.
So lame.
Was like the two basically like almost like losing his eye. Or like, I guess like once he almost did, and then the cat is the reason.
It became a gag because he almost lost his eye like two times before the cat.
But then when he was in his office and
Coulson
comes in and says like, oh, did they really burn out your eye?
Like the Cree did really burn out your eye.
I felt like that made it okay. Because then I laughed. So then I was like, all right, I'll give that to
it's,
you.
It's
but I
true.
Did roll my eye when it happened with the cat.
You're,
I did.
Yeah, I went through the same journey as you did. Like when it happened with the cat, I was just like, Don't make it that lame.
I know.
Don't make it that lame.
That's what I thought.
Just like leave it so we don't see it, and so it happens off screen with some other adventure,
right,
that we don't know about. But then when he's like, when Coulson came in, I felt the same way. I was just like, okay, that is kind of funny.
Right. Right. Yeah.
What did you think about the stinger? Endgame. Like the connection.
Oh,
the Avengers,
sorry.
Everything.
I was like, what stinger? Like, is there a character I'm missing? I thought it was fine. Like, it was nothing crazy.
It was kind of underwhelming.
Yeah, I was just like, okay.
It was very factual.
Right.
Which is fine. Not everything has to blow you away. But like, it was just like the Avengers fiddling with the pager, and then she just shows up.
Yeah.
Just like, not even like, she doesn't fly in. She doesn't like photon
there.
She just like is there. Like, she's been there the whole time.
Right.
She says, "Where's Fury? End of stinger." I'm just like, oh, okay.
Yeah. Yeah. I kind of felt like, all right.
Whatever.
All right. I didn't really need to stay for that, but that's okay.
I mean, you know, honestly, like after the 6 post-credit stingers of Guardians of the Galaxy 2,
oh,
I appreciate one simple.
That's very true. That's true. Like, just don't keep giving them to me.
So is there anything else that you want to say or talk about before we close up shop?
Like I said, you know, it's funny because I feel like this is one of those films, like, maybe on second viewing I could talk more about things that are more issues.
Mm-hmm.
But I think, like, the fact that I was just so, like, what this was doing for, you know, for women, like, the fact that we have another superhero that isn't Wonder Woman and more of a relatable superhero,
mm-hmm.
I think that that's one of those things where I was, like, I was 100% in and I didn't expect to be at all. I know there are flaws in here. Like, I know it's not a perfect film. It's definitely not even the best Marvel film. But I do think that you have to give it that power that it's a really good film. And I think, like, little girls should see it,
mm-hmm.
to have another, you know, role model to look up to. And I enjoyed it. Like, I really did enjoy the experience. Like, I enjoyed watching it. Again, I'm not saying it's perfect. I know there's lots of flaws. But it was a good watch.
But, like, we're riding high on a movie that we enjoy right now, so
yeah.
It's hard to kind of nitpick.
Yeah, and sometimes when we go back and we watch something, we're like, ugh.
Yeah, there's more than a few times, like, a Star Wars film and a Bond film is coming to mind right now where I was jazzed when I saw it in the theater, and then on second viewing, I'm just like, oh, man, this is crushing.
Right, right.
But kind of what you're describing with Captain Marvel is a little bit like with Black Panther, where the cultural significance is more important than the quality of the film.
Yeah, I think so. I think so. I think, you know, we getting some characters that, especially with Black Panther, where we have the cast is one that we've never seen before.
Mm-hmm.
In this climate where we're like, all right, let's add some diversity to our superheroes, and they don't all have to look a certain way, and you know, having females involved as well, like, that was awesome in Black Panther, and now having Captain Marvel again, we're in the right direction, and maybe soon we'll have, you know, like a female minority,
like a person of color,
yeah,
superhero,
exactly. That would be fantastic.
That'd be not. Let's not wait another 10 years,
right? Exactly.
You know,
exactly.
Before we figure that out.
But hopefully, like this, I hope it's successful. I really do. Like I said, even if it's not the best movie ever, I hope it's successful so that it sends a message,
mm-hmm.
that we need this type of superhero.
How would you rate it?
Ah,
I always love hearing your ratings.
Well, it's so hard because, like I said, as a film or as like the impact, it's kind of mixed for me. So we're out of 5.
Out of 5. Oh, it's always out of 5. Letterboxd rules.
Can I do like a 3.7?
Sure.
Okay. I'll do that.
That's closer to 3.5.
Okay. That's fine. Like I said, I know when I watch it again, I'm going to be like, all right, I saw that. Like,
mm-hmm.
I that's how I know I'm going to feel. But the fact that she exists and she has a movie, I would give it more than that.
It's interesting because I'm always much more lenient than you are.
Yeah, you like give when it more comes stars. To ratings.
Mm-hmm. I always give more stars than you. Mm-hmm. Because if I enjoy it, I'm just like, yeah, I enjoyed it. Like, mm-hmm. It has its issues. But like, that's why I feel like, you know, like a 5-star film, that is the best of the best. 4.5, I mean, solid, like just a phenomenal movie. But like one thing I would have done differently, or just one thing that didn't really land on me. Mm-hmm. 4 stars, I give out kind of easily.
Yeah, you do.
Because I'm just like 4 stars is like good film. Mm-hmm. Issues, but like a good, like there's some things there. Like it's not a 4.5, it's not a 5, but like right. It's good. 3.5 is like, no, that was good. That was a good time. That was mm-hmm. a good time. But you know, it kind of, you know, it's just good. It's right. not great. It's good.
Right.
And 3 is just kind of like, it's okay. I missed the mark on a few things. This one, I feel the same way as you do, where like my knee-jerk reaction is like, oh, 4 stars. Like out of 5, that's 4 stars. This is really entertaining. I think that's the main thing.
Yeah, it is. It's entertaining.
Is that like a movie is not a movie that's supposed to make me think or ponder my existence in the universe. It's supposed to entertain me because mm-hmm. she's shooting fire out of her fingers. and I was entertained.
Right.
So you did your job, 4 stars. But you know, because I'm also a little bit
cynical of it.
Cynical of a few things where mm-hmm. I'm just kind of like, oh, the third act is a little weird. Like I couldn't get out of my own head. Maybe that's down to 3.5. But I mean, I rated like Rogue One 3.5. So I feel like I think I'm probably going to sell it at a 4 stars just because it's so entertaining.
Okay. Yeah. And I think I have a little bit of a hard time because sometimes I feel like, you know, it's so hard comparing films too, because like, mm-hmm. you know, how would you compare this to like The Favorite? They're such different beasts, right? Like,
it's true.
You're like, okay, I gave the same score at The Favorite as Captain Marvel. You know, it's just like when you look back at your scores, you're just like, okay, I enjoyed that film.
You got like when I look back at my scores and everything like that, like it's easy to make that joke and do that thing like, oh, I scored this the same as The Favorite.
Yeah, yeah.
But you gotta put apples to apples.
I know.
Look at other superhero films
right.
and other action films and things like that.
It's true. Yeah.
All right. Well, that's our show, everybody. We went over an hour on Captain Marvel, and we had a great time. And I thought it was very entertaining. And the girl thinks she should go see it in theater.
I think so.
I'm kind of at the point where, like, even though it was really entertaining, if you want to save some money, save it for Endgame. That's kind of my
position. I'm saying go see it so you send a message that we need more superheroes like this.
And that is definitely where I'm falling more so than the Endgame explanation. But if you like what we had to say about Captain Marvel, or if you disagree with a few points, let us know by going to thenerdparty.com/contact. Select Nerd Nuptial from the drop-down menu, fill out the form, it'll send us an email. You can also find us all over social media. All you have to do is go to thenerdparty.com and check us out there. We're on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram. We're all over the place. And as always, please, please, please give us a review on Apple Podcasts. We really do appreciate it.
I love you.
I know.
Scully.
Yes?
Marry me.
I love you and I like you.
I love you and I like you.
I love that woman. I love her more than sharks love blood.
I love you.
You don't.